We were noticing at Home People just how many applications actually contained document fraud, especially of the subset of fraudulent applications. It was a really significant number. I think above 90% of fraud cases that we were assessing over the last 2 years in Home People actually included document fraud. If you look at the last 2 years and what's been going on in the world, the global pandemic, the war in Ukraine, with utility bills increasing, mortgage rates increasing, rental prices increasing, debt, it creates uncertainty, it creates financial vulnerability, and that really gives the motive to be able to commit document fraud.
Welcome to Let's Talk About Tech. It's my great pleasure to introduce to you Harry Foster. You made your long way from the UK. Great to have you.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm really looking forward to being here.
So Harry is head of growth at Home People, Home PPL, if you want to Google it.
Yep.
How did that come about? How did you end up working in the startup and fostering growth?
So my background is actually in digital marketing to start with. And I came on board at Home People a couple of years ago to help boost their SEO presence on Google, as well as help out with some campaigns in the rental sector. But then my role just sort of merged into a more of a product marketing role. And when we launched our new product, Fraud Finder, I really started taking ownership of the growth of Fraud Finder, essentially. And that's where we find ourselves now.
And typically for a startup, for a scale-up, you're a shareholder yourself, so you really feel the startup life and you basically go with the roller coaster ride of a startup.
Absolutely, yeah. I love the ability to be wearing many hats at this point in my career and, like you say, got a dedication to the product that we're launching, and I can really see, you know, a real great application for it now as well as for in the future as well.
What have you done previously? I mean, I think there's many people out there, founders, investors, they wrap their heads around this whole topic of growth all the time. Mm. How do you become a really good growth hacker?
So the role that I held before Home People was at a digital marketing agency that had offices in Birmingham and London, and I learned a lot of the tricks of the trade there when it comes to digital campaigns and performance online. That really helped with a few of Home People's products at the start, more of our B2C products, guaranteed. But prior to that, I was working for a global sort of conference and events company and had dipped my toes into many different industries such as mobility, wealth, and got to learn, I guess, you know, just how different things work in different industries and you pick up experience that way.
Very interesting. So would you say that this diverse background helps you today in your job?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I think so.
It's interesting. So also in a startup, sometimes things change, right? A product starts and then you have a side product that ultimately takes over and becomes a key product,
yes,
right?
Correct.
A little bit of the story of Home PPL,
yeah.
Right? Or Home People. What's the story behind this startup? How did it start?
So the Home People brand essentially and the company started when our founder and CEO, Alex Saidis, was trying to get rental property in the UK when he was wanting to study here. Study in the UK in Warwick, I think it was, as part of doing his business degree, and would get rejected on multiple occasions to a number of different rental properties, or been able to having to pay 6 months up front instead of being able to, you know, secure a rental property like anybody else. Students don't have that sort of money to be able to pay to it. So that's really where the idea came from. Technology. Alex and the tech team at Home People were able to develop a technology stack based on a number of different factors such as open banking, device and data enrichment, documents analysis, behavior analysis, that is able to assess risk of tenants moving around letted properties that moved slightly away from the common structure of how it works, which is through credit referencing agencies in the UK. Credit referencing agencies have a notoriously high rejection rate. They reject about 30% of applicants when the stream of income isn't very apparent, or there's no UK credit file, or they have a thin credit file like students have or the self-employed have. So there was a large number of people, Alex included, who were being left out from the rental market. And that was the original problem that Home People tried to fix, was essentially financial inclusion.
And financial inclusion is an impact topic, right? We can see that as investors, we're also investors, proud investors in Home People. And we know that there's also an impact fund from basically day one who supported the company.
Yeah.
Now, through this technology stack and quite some solid growth, right, that we saw in the real estate market, the side product in the beginning, Fraud Finder, kind of took over and became more and more one of the main drivers of the business. What is Fraud Finder?
So Fraud Finder is essentially an advanced document and fraud analysis tool that serves two different functions. So the first one is it takes information off financial documents and authenticates them, turns them into a source of truth using a number of different fraud detection tests. But secondly, it also lifts and extracts personal information and transaction information from the documents. So lenders and potentially other people can use that information, standardizing it into a certain bit of code to feed, you know, financial affordability algorithms and stuff like that. But the main driving focus that came from the inception of Fraud Finder really was we were noticing at Home People just how many applications actually contain document fraud, especially of the subset of fraudulent applications. It was a really significant number. I think above 90% of fraud cases that we were assessing over the last 2 years in Home People actually included document fraud in some sort of way, right? And if you look at the, you know, the last 2 years and what's been going on in the world, we've had macroeconomic crisis after crisis with, you know, the global pandemic, with the war in Ukraine, with utility bills increasing, mortgage rates increasing, rental prices increasing, and that creates debt, it creates uncertainty, it creates financial vulnerability, and that really gives you the motive to be able to commit document fraud. And not just the motive as well, we live in a world where the means to essentially edit a bank statement, it's really, really easy to do that. We could go on the website now, sign into a free account on some online editing tool and modify a bank statement. Just like that, I could change my address, I could inflate a salary, I could delete a transaction. And people think that, you know, that's potentially a harmless crime, but the level of risk that causes this to a financial provider is massive. I think it was LexisNexis who did a fraud study in 2023 that said for every dollar that a business costs on a fraudulent application, the true cost of it is $4. It's 4x in litigation, in chasing that, in the fraud money lost, and as well as, you know, all of the legal proceedings that go with that as well. So when you put those two things together, and then you have the opportunity that what exists within a number of different fields, not just rentals, but in banking and mortgages and even insurance and education, the best way that currently the standard to check documents is manually. It's still manual. And, you know, for instance, Fraud Finder has over 215 different fraud signals that we test every single document against. If you put that against, you know, the human hunch and subject it to human error, there's only one winner there, really. So if you give somebody the opportunity to commit document fraud, they've got the motive to do it and the means to easily manipulate a document, then you live in this perfect storm where, like we say, on the backdrop of that global economic crisis, you're having massive surges in document fraud. I think Verif did a report in 2023, which said globally document fraud had increased by 31%. So it is essential that this, you know, is addressed now. And this is why we wanted to deliver Fraud Finder to a number of different industries, not just rentals, because anybody that needs to assess a document essentially is subject to this fraud risk. And that fraud risk can be not only reduced with Fraud Finder, but the costs of it can be reduced and the accuracy can be increased and the range of documents that you can verify can be increased as well.
It's interesting. I mean, cyber risk always gives me the creeps, right? We're living in this digital world, right? And obviously the technology has become more and more easy. And like you say, everybody can sign up for free in an editing tool and can edit a document. Is it really in a stage where you visually would not recognize document fraud?
Absolutely. Yeah. You could go on to Home People's website and look at any number of the case studies that we've put up. And there is examples on there of deleted data that a fraudster has deleted from the original file. There is no way a human can magically like restore deleted data with their eyes to see what had been deleted. But that is one of the tests that we can run on FraudFinder. With certain softwares, we can see and pinpoint exactly using science and data where that information had been deleted. And in certain some cases, which bits of data had been deleted as well.
And you can even restore it?
We can restore it with certain softwares, yes.
Wow. So, okay, this basically gives us an idea that home people evolved out of the real estate sector to a much wider range of clients, right? So banking, insurances, anybody who kind of KYCs or does due diligence in data. There's also a reason why the publisher Linde here in Austria is a proud investor through European Super Angels Club and also sells the product here mainly for lawyers, notaries, tax advisors, but also M&A experts or within banks, right? Now, I know you have already a good set of clients in this area. Have you found these figures that you told us before about the LexisNexis report? Have you found that really such a high percentage of documents are fraudulent were, or potentially fraudulent, right? High risk, where they have accepted documents?
Absolutely. So we have done a bit of analysis on the clients that we already work with, and we found that with the clients who are now using FraudFinder on a regular basis, we see a document fraud rate of, a document high risk fraud rate of about 10 to 20%. And in a lot of these cases, and in fact, in almost all of these cases, these businesses were reviewing these manually. They had no idea about what document fraud rate they had at that time. They were, you know, being subject to whatever fraud risk may have come their way, but having been able to have an application that can give you that data straight away, obviously is the first start. Measuring it is the first step to actually reducing it. And that's what FraudFinder can do.
Mm. So one of the largest banks here in Austria, I know, is investigating and working with you currently and thinking of maybe implementing the software tool for cyber risks. We don't tell you which one it is. How easy or how difficult is it to land a client of that size? I would expect there's many different departments. Where do you start? Who needs to approve? What's the price tag on the software? When does it make sense for a smaller or for a bigger business?
Yeah, sure. So obviously with any financial service provider, the due diligence and the compliance checks that you have to go through are quite strenuous. And that is and that's something that takes a long time. It always is going to take a long time, especially when you start working with the larger corporations. Like you say, a number of different departments within their sectors have to sign things off. But what we tend to do is, whilst that due diligence is concurrently going on, we'll prep everything to make sure that a trial is underway. If it is a client of the size that you're talking about, then we'll implement the API. FraudFinder can be delivered in two different formats. The first is an online web portal. It's great for our smaller clients. That's great about FraudFinder because it can service clients on every end of the spectrum. People can log into the UI, they can upload documents and get an instant visual report of everything that's happening. But then again, with our larger clients, we can also implement an API, a really simple RESTful API call where we can integrate it into their CRM and we can check results that way. And usually we typically trial for about a month to 2 months and we see what results we're getting. FraudFinder is also an algorithm that we're constantly tweaking and improving and adapting to the models of the client that they want, right? So for instance, we've just started working with a tech unicorn in the car insurance industry. And they told us it's really important for us to look for document fraud on documents such as no claims discounts from insurance providers, as well as logbooks. So we've been able to actually build those types of documents into the algorithm and find fraud on them for it as well. So that the great thing about FraudFinder in that sense is, yes, we can work with a client of any size. We can adapt the pricing model, the algorithm, the API to do that. But also the fact that it's almost borderless because we can train the model on documents from all around the world as well.
When you say we train the model, the obvious, most important and biggest elephant in the room comes to play, the artificial intelligence.
Yes.
Is this artificial intelligence or is it human intelligence improving the algorithms?
This is artificial intelligence. This is a system where we use our very valuable database that is constantly being added to. And we can authenticate all of the metadata and the structures of different documents that we see from different clients that are, you know, sort of submitting it around the world, and then building almost institutional clusters based around them. So for instance, if a bank comes to us that we've never seen before and we get a number of different documents that are attached to that institution, we can learn how that institution starts to create their bank statements and put them together, and we can feed that information organically into the algorithm to make the accuracy rates better.
That's amazing. I mean, and obviously Great Britain is one of the most international business hubs in the world. So I would assume you have trained the algorithms already on a number of documents of many, many countries. Where are the limitations and where are you heading? What are the improvements that you still have on your roadmap?
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. At the moment, you know, we have clients from different countries around the world, and therefore have trained the algorithm mostly, obviously, on all of the UK institutions, but further beyond. Where are we going with our roadmap? We just want to add more documents, right? We envision the workload of any institution who needs to assess a document to be almost zero. We want to integrate with document sort of storage holders like Google Drive and Apple, and we want to make it as seamless as possible for a document to be uploaded and then instantly be verified and checked, whether that's PDF, whether that's JPEG, whether that's a scan, whether that's a law contract, whether it's a tenancy contract, whether it's a bank statement. We just want to add as much value to and enrich all of these companies with the documents that matter most to them.
That's amazing. If you're an Austrian client, you might be a user of Yurio. Here, this will be implemented quite soon. We're currently working on this at Linde Publisher. All the other mentioned drives, like Google Drive, the SharePoints, etc., I'm sure you will hit quite soon. With a head of growth like you, I'm confident that Home People's story will grow and grow. Thanks for watching. Don't forget to subscribe. And thanks for stopping by here in Vienna. We now need to head to the tech dinner.
Great stuff. Thank you very much for having me.